To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It is time to go back to the guest line today. Normally, we talk to Andrew Egger on Mondays. We had to reschedule, and we've got him today, the White House correspondent for The Bulwark and co-author of the Morning Shots newsletter. And St. Louis, and Andrew Egger is with us on KMOX. How's it going, Andrew?
Hey, guys. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you. And we were just talking about those boat strikes, which have become a really big topic of conversation over the last couple of weeks. And the legality of them has been of concern. We've seen a little bit of bipartisan concern, Rand Paul being one of those, for example, who has some concern about what's going on there. And Pete Hegseth has faced a little more scrutiny over this lately. So where do we stand on this? And is there going to be any sort of repercussions against him, or will they continue to operate as they have been?
Yeah, so basically where we're at is there's certainly a lot of concern to be had about these boat strikes. And the question is just how much, right? There have been these longstanding concerns from you know, war law experts that these strikes, that these, you know, sort of somewhat indiscriminate and certainly sort of like unwarned strikes off the coast, in these boats off the coast of Venezuela, which the administration says are targeting narcotics smuggling, that they are questionably legal in a lot of different ways, as opposed to the old strategy of interdicting these boats, arresting the people on board, having them stand trial in the United States. So those concerns have been ongoing for months. What has really ratcheted this up just in the last week or so was this piece of reporting from the Washington Post last week that suggested in one particular strike, the vessel was hit. It was, you know, bombed in the way that we've become accustomed to these things happening, but that there was actually a follow-up strike, a double tap strike. Supposedly, the Washington Post's reporting suggested to target survivors who are still in the water. So if that were true, that would be an enormous escalation of you know, concern here, going from this sort of like gray legal area where the White House doesn't necessarily have a lot of legal authority to stand on, tipping over, you know, a pretty stark red line into likely war crimes. Now, the question is just whether that is in fact true. And there's been some reporting to kind of shade it the other direction from places like the New York Times that said maybe the second strike was not intended to go after the survivors. Maybe it was intended to cripple, you know, continue to cripple the vessel that was being struck in the first place. Secretary Hegseth has denied that he was kind of personally authorized in making that second strike, that he had kind of moved on to other matters in the Pentagon by the time the second strike went down. So there's a lot of questions remaining and a lot of sort of unanswered questions, and obviously questions about whether whose narrative is true here. But that real escalation is what has gotten a lot of new Republicans, in addition to people like Rand Paul, who have been criticizing these operations all along. You got guys like, Senator Roger Wicker, who chairs the Senate Armed Services Committee, you know, really kind of spooked by that initial Washington Post report. So the Pentagon has had to kind of scramble to assuage these concerns, even from Republicans who had not been, you know, so publicly concerned about these strikes in the past.
Andrew, Brad Young here. And as I've looked at this from a legal enforcement issue, Only Congress can really challenge the legality of what the Pentagon is doing. Regular citizens can't do it. Obviously, the Trump administration isn't going to prosecute itself. So the only way that anything can happen is from Congress. And up until now, there's really been no political movement in Congress to look at these drone strikes, or not drone strikes, but ship strikes, until now. So do you see the winds of change occurring in Congress in terms of having a bipartisan desire to look into the legality of these strikes in general and the legality of the so-called double tap in particular?
Yeah, so that's the open question right now, right? I mean, now that this door has been sort of kicked open by some of this reporting, the thing that we're all just sort of waiting to see is whether not just sort of like random, no offense to Rand Paul, but like random senators who have these sort of like civil libertarian, you know, leanings, or this independent streak or whatever. I mean, it's one thing if guys like that start talking, you know, criticizing this stuff. The administration doesn't like that. The much more like concerning development from the point of view of the Pentagon, from the point of view of the administration, would be for these pretty powerful oversight committees to start really taking a look at these things. And that is why it is so significant that guys like Wicker have made these sorts of concerns plain. Now, Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, said yesterday he's spoken to Wicker about these sort of things just in the last few days. According to Hegseth, they had a good conversation and he was able to assuage some of Wicker's concerns. So I think that's what we're all kind of waiting to see is, you know, this is a new line from the administration. Literally just yesterday, did they acknowledge that this double tap strike had occurred and that you know, and they kind of like laid out their narrative for how that all went down in terms of the chain of command and who authorized what and all those sorts of things. And so we're, like I said, we're kind of waiting to see whether these like particularly powerful entities in both the House and the Senate find those explanations compelling and sufficient, or whether they're going to actually, you know, yank some people in for testimony and hold their feet to the fire a bit here.
Andrew Egger from The Bulwark is with us on KMOX. And we saw the election yesterday in Tennessee's congressional 7th district, which was the president paid a lot of attention to it. I know Republicans have been. And you couple that election, even though the Republican candidate did win, it wasn't a huge margin, which is probably the story here, coupling that with the elections from a few weeks ago, where Democrats won up and down the board in various states around the country. So we're all trying to figure out what that means in a forecast for the midterms, if anything, because we are still, you know, just under a year away from that. So what do you believe it means?
Yeah, these special election stories are always so funny because they're all about expectations, right? And you know, on the some Democrats had sort of talked themselves into perhaps allowing themselves secretly, or not so secretly, to hope that Afton Ben would, who's the, you know, the Democratic state lawmaker who was challenging in this very red district, might actually be able to squeak out a win here. And there was some polling to suggest maybe the race was within the margin of error. Maybe that like kind of shock outcome could happen. That didn't happen. Republican Matt Van Epps won the race by about 9 points, which is, you know, The Republicans are obviously very happy about that. The kind of like break glass in case of emergency scenario of a Democratic win there, which could in theory have kicked off a wacky set of events by which Mike Johnson could actually lose the speaker's gavel in the current Congress. That's probably not happening at this point. So like the like dream scenario for Democrats is out of here. That said, there are some real warning lights flashing here about this race in particular for Republicans going into the midterms. Obviously, this is a significant underperformance, about a 13-point underperformance from where this district was in last year's presidential election for the Republicans. They lost about 13 points of ground. And that is happening despite the fact that this Democrat really did not try very hard to kind of triangulate toward the center, even in this very red district. She had a lot of kind of baggage, you know, defund the police type rhetoric, you know, from a few years ago in her past that did not necessarily make her like the strongest candidate to compete here. And you still see that underperformance for the Republican. The other element of this is that, you know, Democrats have been doing really well in a lot of these special elections, but there was sort of an open question whether this is just like a weird relic of really low turnout races that would sort of evaporate once we get into the higher turnout environment of the midterms. And what this race last night seemed to suggest is that that is not true, that the Democratic advantage relative to last year has a little more staying power than that, because this was a pretty high turnout, a quite high turnout, actually, sort of like midterms level, midterms environment type race. And so you, with the dust settling from this, you still see a sort of normie Republican with a military background, you know, Trumpy in the normal vein of being Trumpy these days in the Republican Party, losing a lot of ground relative to this sort of, you know, progressive-y, defund the police type state lawmaker on the Democratic side. And if that is replicable here in sort of the Nashville area, then it is probably replicable in a lot of congressional districts across the country if we're in a similar political environment next year.
Well,
to remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Andrew, to follow up on your point there, isn't there a danger here by reading too much or trying to read too much into these special elections? I mean, for example, a Democrat won in New Jersey and people said, oh, look, it shows you that the Trump administration is losing popularity. Well, it's New Jersey and a Democrat won. You look at Virginia and a Democrat won. Virginia is now certainly been more of a blue state than a red state in recent years. And in this instance, isn't it too much when we try to look at these as tea leaves foretelling future problems for Republicans in general and Trump in particular? And could it be just the fact that turnout, I know you said turnout was higher, but I guess I'm just trying to get at this question. Do we risk reading too much into these special elections?
So, yes, you're 100% right that all this stuff is provisional. It's all just kind of like, you know, the small pieces of data that we have now. You know, next year there's going to be an election in every congressional district in the country all at once, right? And that's going to have a lot more of a, you know, we'll learn a lot more than we have learned so far this year, just by nature of the animal, right? I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. That said, I think that the specific thing that people have drilled down on in some of these races that they have found may be, again, this is all sort of hypothetical. It's all trying to read tea leaves. But that seems like it could have some sticking power is that a lot of the particular coalitions that Donald Trump made real inroads with in 2024, which people were kind of surprised by. I mean, it sort of seemed like Trump was a known commodity by then. But last year in his race against Kamala Harris, he picked up a lot of young people that he had not picked up in either of his previous presidential campaigns. He picked up a lot of minority voters, you know, things like this. He built out a kind of new coalition last year. And what we have seen so far, again, and like you say, just these very small snapshots of data that we're getting out of these races, is that there has been a pretty significant snapback among a lot of those same coalitions. You have young voters, minority voters, these same people who got a little Trump curious in 2024, kind of reverting and moving back away from him again in these small spaces. So if that becomes replicable, you know, these are trends that we've seen, yes, in mostly blue areas, or you know, not all blue areas, that we're seeing them now in you know, this red district in Tennessee too. We saw them in Virginia, which currently has a Republican legislature. Republican governor. So it's less about like specific outcomes and more about these trend lines that, again, if they continue, and all the year's a long time, a lot can change politically in a year, but if we end up in a similar environment next year, could spell bad news for Republicans.
I'm interested in the politics of this next story, and that is there's been a little bit of attention paid to the president in a cabinet meeting this week, appearing to doze off a little bit, just, you know, slightly, when during the last administration, there was all, I mean, it was wall-to-wall coverage of how old Joe Biden is and how sleepy Joe is at the helm. And now you've got the president who's kind of, again, looking like he's falling asleep in these meetings. Why does it not have the same traction, even though it's the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, some of these things have, they acquire their own momentum, right? Like for Joe Biden, for better or worse, he lost control of that narrative completely, right? I mean, like when people thought about Joe Biden, they thought about Joe Biden being old. And that becomes sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because every time you see another one of these things, it goes right on the pile. It's like, well, there's Joe Biden. He's really darn old. And that's the kind of thing that you can't really like root out of anybody's brain, because he's not getting any younger, right? None of us are. Trump, for better or worse, has presented in sort of a different way. People read him differently. You know, it's all the makeup and the hairstyling and stuff that makes him present first and foremost as this crazy guy named Donald Trump that's just kind of a fixture in all of our brains, which I would argue, at least this is the way it has seemed to me, has kind of helped him in this particular respect with the age question. He's not an old guy. He's Donald Trump, right? That sort of like weird psychological thing there. That said, he's getting pretty old too. He's going to be 80. You know, Joe Biden's older than he is, but by the time Trump leaves office, he'll be the oldest president of all time. And so, you know, these things certainly don't help. With this specific thing, it's kind of a funny story, because there is a like proximate cause for why Trump appears to have been nodding off in this cabinet meeting, and it is because he was up on Truth Social basically all night the night before. He posted like 120
yes,
things on, so like, you
that's
know,
exactly
that's
what a president should be
relate,
doing on Truth Social all night
bit, right?
Yeah.
I've stayed up too late on social media and been sleepy the next day too, so
you're not the president
to make that just yes
you're supposed 100%. To be you're at a media outlet, that's your job.
I know, I'm lashed to the wheel. Yeah.
That's it. It's just I'm fascinated by it and how narratives shape and form and then just solidify. It's
no, you're
it's
100%
super
right. It is. I mean, if you're a Team Biden guy, there's plenty of grumbling to be done about that sort of thing. Even if it is,
even if you're
sort of
not
like an
Team Biden,
property of how people process these stories.
Yeah. Well, appreciate it as always, Andrew Egger. We will talk to you on Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Andrew Egger, White House correspondent on The Bulwark, co-author of the Morning Shots newsletter, and you should subscribe to that.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.